You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On the opening of Parliament, Shadow Leader of the House Simon Bridges threw Labour into confusion over whether they had the number of votes required to elect Trevor Mallard as Speaker. Labour and National reached an agreement whereby Labour increased the number of Select Committee places in return for National voting Mallard in, despite it turning out Labour actually had the requisite number of votes. I spoke with Simon Bridges about what happened.
Basically what happened was members of Parliament were being sworn in, and that occurred, and it was apparent to me and to others of my colleagues, you know, amongst the 56 National MPs, that there were a number of several really government members who weren't present, and so members who had not been sworn in were unable to vote, and so we thought that you know, it was important. You know, it's our, in our job as a loyal opposition that tests the competence of government to look at maybe testing that. Of course, what also happened is we were very, very annoyed, frankly, at the way we had been treated over a number of issues, particularly around select committees. And so it was an agreement. We had always wanted more members on select committees because we were going to go to the lowest numbers in history, and we just didn't think that was right in any way. And so, you know, what happened was senior Labour members on working all of this out, we came to an agreement. You know, it's a pretty dramatic sort of a thing to happen, and then a new speaker could be elected because we effectively, in looking to test the government's confidence, you know, found it to be a bit wanting, got some things we thought were important we should have got all along anyway, and had proven our point and, you know, taught the new government a lesson.
You are meant to hold the government to account, but I mean, sort of testing their number skills, I mean, isn't it more of just a kind of a cynical political move, this?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I was very annoyed about what happened in the weeks prior, where, you know, people refer to the standing orders report and the talk about 96 there, but that was in a situation where my party, the governing party at the time, was reaching out to do what the opposition parties wanted. They were fundamentally actually trying to create a more MMP Parliament, and they thought that smaller committees would make it do a better job. I get that, but what was also true is those numbers didn't disadvantage them as opposition parties because there were more smaller ones. And in taking the approach saying, no, we're sticking with that, and you can get stuffed, which is effectively the position that was being put to us, and you'll have a lot of MPs who won't be able to be on select committees and hold the government account and scrutinise what government is doing through that engine room of select committees. It meant that I'd made it quite clear to the new government that we would be looking to test them in this way and to do so strongly. And there was the opportunity for us to do that on the Tuesday. And so, I mean, that's ultimately what we did. We got, of course, what we should have got anyway, and that now means we were able to get things back to a bit more of an even keel, where we still hold the government to account, we still scrutinise, because that's our constitutional role ultimately. But we, you know, there's also some reasonableness. So this talk about, as you sort of put it, I can't remember the words you used, but cynical and so on, I totally reject.
And why is it so important that you have the increased numbers on the select committees?
Because ultimately, without that, we would have less ability to be an effective opposition that scrutinises. I think it's worth sort of just, you know, standing back, and there's all these arguments that are floating around on Twitter and the media. Look, that's great, but ultimately, we would have had fewer select committee spaces for a sort of sized parliament than ever before. That disadvantaging of us as, ironically, the biggest opposition ever was untenable to us. I can tell you now really clearly, under Gerry Brownlee as the leader of the House and myself later under National, we would have never let something like this blow out into the open, because we understand that Parliament, which is different from government, has a give and take to it and requires some reasonableness. As I say, I hope that the new government's learned a lesson from this. We will, I'd made clear that we would be, looking for an opportunity to be strong on this issue, and that came on Tuesday very quickly. But now it's a question of, as I say, getting back to a bit more of an even keel, where we are constructive at times, but also take our actually very serious role of holding the government account and opposing seriously as well.
And the government has sort of tried to, I suppose, spin it and say, well, it's not that big a deal. We probably would have given them more select committee seats anyway. I mean, do you think this is true, or they're just a bit embarrassed?
Oh, look, no, I don't. I mean, ultimately, as I say, I'm not trying to be political about it. I just, I saw what I saw, calling it as I saw it, which was a situation where, on Tuesday, they were incompetent. They didn't know the rules around these issues and were very confused about that, and they didn't know their numbers. And so
were you actually aware at the time that they did have enough numbers, or did you genuinely believe they didn't have enough?
My sense was it was very close, and I couldn't work out whether we were just there, whether it was a tie, or they were just there.
So you were bluffing?
No, I don't think that's a bluff. We might have won, was my sort of sense of it at the time. But of course, it turns out we didn't quite. But I think the other point I'd make is there's all this talk about how, there was some agreement. There was no agreement about the new speaker in any shape or form. We'd been quite clear, as I say, that we're very unhappy about the situation with select committees, and we would...
So how do you...
I think the other point is that there's this view that there's a tradition around the speaker being elected unopposed. Well, this is nonsense. The last two times there's been challenges from the opposition. The last time against David Carter was a challenge by Ron Mark, and the time before that was a challenge by Trevor Mallard to David Carter. So it's commonplace in that regard.
So if you'd had the numbers, would you have voted down Trevor Mallard as Speaker?
I honestly can't answer that, because that's not how it transpired. I honestly don't think I can answer that.
So around, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
I also spoke with University of Auckland lecturer Dr. Stephen Winter about the role of select committees in Parliament and why National would want more seats on committees.
Well, the primary, role of select committees is to review bills, essentially. The bill will pass first reading in Parliament, and then it gets referred to one or more select committees. And they look very carefully at, they can go clause by clause on the bill and make sure that the thing is, fit for purpose.
The National has been pushing for more numbers on select committees, and they got it the other day in a rather messy deal in Parliament. I mean, why would they want 108 places rather than 96 places on select committees?
Oh, I think there's a couple of things going on there. If we sort of back up a bit, right, the shift from, I think it was 120 originally spots down to 96 was part of a sort of all parties agreement in the middle of last year. And there's lots of good reasons why they wanted to, everybody thought it was a good reason to sort of limit the number of spots. And really the main reason to reduce the number of spots was to put less pressure on particular members to attend more than one committee, right? They would, in most cases, the committee members would be members of at least two committees. And this meant that the, because you pull ministers out and so on, there's only so many people to go around. So by reducing the number of spots on committees, it meant that the MPs and would be able to commit sort of more time and energy to doing the, you know, robust work of on the committee, and therefore be better at committee membership. However, obviously the government has changed, and I think the real, you know, the couple of really easy ones here is this was an easy win for National, for them to take advantage of a bit of publicity. You know, Simon Bridges could put on the mantle of, you know, the new government's against democracy because it's cutting the number of committee spots, and that was a, you know, an argument of convenience.
Will it allow them to better scrutinize the government, which is sort of where National's coming from?
That's what they'll say, but committee positions are apportioned proportionally, right? So what they're going to do is just going to have more committee positions. And what it means is that more MPs will have to serve on more committees, essentially. And that will, you know, at the end of the day, it sort of matters in, you know, sort of what committee work happens. And in many cases, you know, we should be clear that committees are, you can be party vote kinds of places, but they also are often not. And my understanding, you know, I've taught a few former MPs and so on, is that a lot of times the committees are really, you know, these are places where people can be trying to get the best answers to the questions that are put to them, and they work really quite collaboratively. So, you know, is it going to help National throw more spokes into the wheel? Potentially, but when it comes to party vote, party line votes, you're probably not going to see a huge amount of difference there. I think it was more a matter of it was an easy win, an easy public win on day one, and, got the headline.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.